The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you, that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Didn't that Gospel from John sound intriguing and mysterious? Yes? Well, I'm not going to talk about it. I have to wait until next time. I want to talk to you about the first reading, okay? Because there's great lessons now here in this first reading that we heard from Acts of the Apostles. I'd like to try to share with you. Here's Paul's famous speech to the Areopagus in Athens. And there's lessons here that I think we need to learn and remember as we try to share the gospel with a skeptical and an unbelieving world, whether that's the world in general or whether those are our own friends or perhaps even the family under our roof. So Paul goes to Athens, and before he was in Athens, he was in Philippi, and he was in Thessalonica, and he was in Berea, and he fled from Berea for his own safety's sake, and he comes down to Athens, and he goes straight to the center of town. He goes to the Areopagus. Okay, now, the Areopagus was a hill. Literally, Areopagus means the hill of Ares. And it was a place where there were many, many temples to many, many gods. There was the famous temple of Zeus the Olympian. It's one of the wonders of the ancient world. And then there was the temple of the Parthenon on the Acropolis. Of course, that's still standing today. The temple to Athena Nike. Nike, by the way, is not the name of a shoe company, right? Nike means victory, okay? So if you have Nike shoes, it just means victory, which is a really cool name for a sports shoe. But that has nothing to do with what I want to say to you this morning. And then there was the god of war, right? And then there was Hermes, the messenger god. And St. Paul comes to this altar to an unknown god. And he uses it to launch out onto his speech to the Athenians. A little bit of background on this unknown god, because it's kind of interesting, okay? It's the 6th century BC, and there's a terrible plague all throughout the city of Athens. And suddenly from the island of Crete comes a man named Epimenides. He was a poet, he was a philosopher. And he told the people of Athens what to do to cure the terrible plague, and they took his advice and the plague lifted. And then as mysteriously as he came into town, so mysteriously did he disappear. And tribute for delivering them from this terrible plague, they did not know who or what he worshipped. They made this altar to an unknown god, which still was standing when Paul visited Athens. Paul knew about Epimenides. He knew his philosophy, he knew his writing. In fact, he quotes him in two of his letters. One is the first letter to Titus, and actually the other one is one of his speeches right here in Acts of the Apostles. So he takes what they have in common with him and he uses it as a springboard to teach them about Christ. And here's where his example becomes helpful to us as we try to do the same thing. Because in our world, we're very similar to these Athenians, we just have a different Areopagus. They had every kind of god in the whole world, and yet they knew that there was something missing. They knew that there was something more. So they had this temple to an unknown god. And similarly, in our own time, don't we have a whole pantheon of false gods? What with career and possessions and prestige and the latest Apple gadget or whatever it might be. They're all meant to fulfill our hearts, but none of them do. In spite of all the false gods in our pantheon, just like in Athens, something's missing. Something's needed. There's an unknown god. Now, you and I know that this is Jesus Christ. And anyone who's ever discovered the unknown God can't keep him to themselves. They want to stand on the rooftops and say, "Hey, people, listen to what I have to say." But when they do so, they find that it's very, very difficult to share. So Paul gives us three lessons here on how to share the gospel. And I think These are three lessons we need to take to heart. First thing Paul does, Paul commends the good that he sees. He says, "People of Athens, I see in every way that you are very religious." He begins by commending the good that he sees. He could have easily said, "People of Athens, all these gods, they're all false. Tear them down." But that wasn't the way to begin. Every human heart yearns for the good. Even if they're searching wrongly, they're yearning for the good. So you might find someone and they want equality, or they want justice, or they want their true identity. Affirm what good you see as your first step in sharing the gospel. Second thing Paul does, he meets them where they are. He gives this very reasoned, logical three-step speech. He does this because he's in Athens, right? The center of reason, logic, learning, and debate. We too need to strive to meet people where they are. And for the most part, that means being as thoughtful as you possibly can and as patient as you possibly can. All right, but the third thing Paul does is the one step that we are tempted to leave out, that we must never leave out. He does call them to conversion of heart. And this is where he loses them. And this is where we often lose people too. But we have to understand that the whole purpose of everything that we do and that we say is to call souls to know God. And that means they're going to have to sacrifice their own personal obstinate will, and they don't often want to do so. If the only thing we were proclaiming, say, was the beauty of polyphonic music or stained glass windows or Gothic or Romanesque architecture, we'd find no opposition. People would welcome us just as much as they'd welcome anything else. It's the fact that we call hearts to conversion that causes people to be resistant. And in a sense, we should expect that and still call hearts to conversion in spite of everything. When I was in the seminary, they told us, "We're sending you out to be knocked down," they told us. "We're sending you out to get knocked down." In other words, don't expect to preach and just have everybody suddenly agree with you like a little light bulb illuminates over top of their head. Expect rather to share the gospel and to be resisted, to be opposed. We need to expect the same thing. Now, in good time, people will come around. Athens did eventually convert. But we have to be very patient with others and with ourselves. And in the meantime, strive to be faithful. Not to be successful, but to be faithful. Three little lessons now here from the greatest evangelizer of all that we can take to heart as well. Acknowledge what good you see. Meet people where they are, and don't be afraid to call hearts to conversion. For the good of those we love, and for the praise and glory of God the Father. Amen.